It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Israel being a global weed startup superpower, possibly college students maybe smoking more weed than tobacco, pets on weed, good or bad, and Massroots wanting to go public. Here on the Canlinguists, Alex Mandelberg sitting with me, my awesome stony co-host April O'Connor sitting in with us today, a very good friend of mine, a very funny fucking comedian, and a very all around awesome human being, the very awesome, give it up for Connor McGuire.
Very excited to be here, guys.
Dude, thank you for coming man.
I really enjoyed the reverb.
I know. It's always fun. I kind of am ashamed of how much fun I have saying people's name with the reverb. It's a little bit shameful, I guess. But yeah, so starting off, Israel, a lot of weed stuff going on. Now, with Israel, it's a weird thing because it's not yet legal in Israel. But the state's growing it, and they're doing a lot of medical testing because Israel's big on medical testing.
Do they allow medical marijuana usage?
They're leading the world in testing right now.
Remember
that one about the mice with the CBD?
Yeah, I remember the mice.
That was Tel Aviv University. For anyone that didn't listen to that, that's where they said that they did THC and CBD together and then CBD by itself, and it said that CBD could help heal broken bones stronger than they were before.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
It seems like CBD is just good for everything. It's just a magical cure.
You know what? We had some shaman.
All the sob stories.
We had a shaman alchemist magician in here last week who was like talking. I'm about to have some of the
so
medicine
heady
that he left me. But for those of you who might not have listened last week, so I asked him, I'm like, so this stuff is good, that stuff is good. And he's like, so how high is it getting? He was like, oh, you want to get high. And I didn't realize he had these stickers on top of his bottles. And like, he'd given me 1X and 2X, and he pulls out this thing with 6Xs. He's like, you can have this one. It's 6X. I'm like, oh, God damn.
And is it like just condensed THC? Like, what is that?
What it is.
Do you want me to answer that one?
I'm going to try because I think it's a little bit funnier if I try to not knowing what it is. So it's called spagyrin, which stands for. that's right. I know it's right.
Spagyric.
Fuck. God damn it. So I was mostly right. Spagyric. So
that was my X over your head.
So first of all, besides the fact that this dude has to grow really awesome weed in order to make this stuff.
Yeah, he puts trimmed buds in it.
He also has to distill very awesome alcohol in order to
biodynamic for 7 weeks.
So it's like 190 proof alcohol that is distilled. This really
call
awesome
him the alchemist.
Plant. Yeah, dude. Okay. This dude. Plus he's doing all this stuff on lunar cycles, solar. I wish I understood it.
You said alchemist, so I assume there's lunar cycles involved. Alex.
Yes.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Of course, man. Jeez, gosh. But yeah, so getting back. So
it's an owl. It's alchemy, is what it is.
But yeah, so
it's full on. They take the plant and they separate it. It's a German word and it literally means to take apart and put back together. So they do an alcohol. They make the biodynamic alcohol. He goes Monday to Monday, then Tuesday to Tuesday, then what, you know, for 7 weeks he goes through, you know, charges it up with all the different planetary lunar cycles.
He
does the herbal extraction because he has one that have other herbs in it too. Mm-hmm. It's not just cannabis. Mm-hmm. And then he takes what's left from that extraction and burns it. And then after he burns it, he kilns it. And so there's a cell salt. And then he puts the cell salt back into the alcohol extraction. So it's like, and then it sits in there and it like ferments. Wow. And
yeah,
and
that's, so, that's all I was able
so
to
do. So really, it's
too.
Really euphoric.
It's a whole lot of wow.
So it's not like a heavy edible thing. It's really like a beautiful, magical.
Yeah, it's very kind of, you know, it's
so you only take a little bit though, like
yeah, very. You take like three drops on your tongue, and you're like, all right, I'm good, yeah. Feeling very good.
I had some from years ago, and I had stuff in storage, and I pulled them back out, and I said, "Do you think these are still good?" He said, "They get stronger."
Yeah, no, because it's
everything it takes
it's alcohol,
six months
it ferments,
to a year. Yeah.
So wow. It's really kind of amazing. But yeah. But anyways, getting back to our topic. So Israel, as
give
far
me some
as
of that.
As
give oh, me some of that.
Go ahead, yeah, here, take it, pass it
tell
on.
Tell me
down.
About the aphrodisiac honey, though.
The aphrodisiac honey was pretty awesome. We'll get to that later on.
that's for later in the
that's
show.
That's for later in the show.
Okay.
You know, getting back to Israel, as far as the medical experimentation there, I told you guys pre-show that was Israel was where they did all the stem cell research, where they snipped a.
For Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, for Christopher Reeve, they cut the spinal cord of a mouse
and then they treated
it with stem cells, and the mouse was able to walk up a 45-degree incline.
Sounded like the wrong party right there. I'm like the straw, the spoon.
Which is pretty – it's pretty awesome what they're able to do. And here's the weird thing is that, well, Israel –
On top of the tongue?
Well, Israel is very, very, very conservative. I think people don't realize how conservative.
It's got an interesting taste.
It does have an interesting taste, doesn't it? Well, people don't realize how conservative Israel is over the last decade.
Yeah.
They've also been on the cutting edge of what here in America we would think are liberal policies, like medical research with stem cells and cannabis, even though it's not legal, but. At the same time,
are doctors prescribing it though as medicine?
No, well, no, I don't not think there's medical there. But what I do know is that if you go to a kibbutz, and which is basically the equivalent of an Israeli hippie commune, if you go to a kibbutz and you're out in the fields where they're farming, you're gonna smell weed because everyone out there is smoking weed.
Sure,
but it's nobody. It's just, it's one of those who gives a fuck. What we're going to bust you for smoking some weed? If you're doing your job, we don't care. But that – I think people don't realize that that actually is a conservative view. Like that actually is a conservative stance.
Yeah, sure. For personal liberty.
Yeah. People – they're all about that personal liberty. Like, oh, you want to – if you can come to work and do your job and – like I think people don't – like. Drug testing, when you go to your – when you apply for a job and you get drug tested, you can thank Democrats for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the Democrats –
that's regulation.
That's regulation.
Sure.
That is absolutely regulation. And, well, I definitely lean more left than right. That's one of those places that I go, anybody who goes, I'm liberal, give everyone marijuana, I'm like, well, hold your horses right there because that's a view that both parties I feel like have gotten to a point where – I mean, what, 60% of America now is basically almost openly saying that, I'm fine with us having some kind of regulation on marijuana federally. There's no reason not to. There's no reason that if the states now finally get to make their nut, why shouldn't the country be able to make their nut as well?
The country owns a lot of patents.
Well, that has nothing to do with weed, though.
Well, Hebrew University holds a rich IP bank.
Oh, you're talking about Israel. Yeah, no, Israel, with them, but that's all state-owned. With Israel, that's the thing, is that weed is not yet legal in the state, so any research the state's doing, everything has to be controlled by the state.
It's clinical testing, trials and such. They're happy to do it.
Medical, but good. Test it. Test all of it. Once again, as a Jew, I'm going to stand on the soapbox and go, Jews and weed, we fucking rock this shit, man. We are bringing this shit home. I love it. I'm so proud of us.
So do you think it becomes legal in Israel soon then?
Man, see, here's the thing. I think Israel, because they're so conservative, they're so happy to keep doing this
whole – they're zeroing in on the medicinal side of it. And that's what this whole article is about, being a
they're zeroing in on the medical side of it, and that's why they're really coming to the forefront of medical research with it. But as far as them legalizing recreationally or even medically, I really feel like Israel is one of those states that they're happy to do the three monkey policy.
Do I
see no evil, hear no evil, you know, speak no evil. If I, as long as nobody's walking around going, who's the fucking stoner over there, then you're good.
I don't know, man. Do I have to be the one who makes the joke about Israel not wanting to leave any money on the table? Because once, if we see...
You son of a bitch. God damn it. I hate good Jew jokes. God damn it.
Tel Aviv-based company said they have the world's first precision metered dose inhaler for cannabis.
Precision metered dose inhaler. What the... I only know
freewheeling it with your hand on the button, just suck it as hard as you can.
I only know what like half of those words mean, so you're gonna have to help me out.
That means
there.
It makes a certain precise amount that you inhale instead of just the way we do it now, where you just hold down and suck as hard as we can for as long as we want.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah, fuck that.
I don't
want
the man controlling my fucking weed. Like that's more regulation, man.
This is supposed to be about medicine, man.
Oh, man. You know, just man. God damn it, man.
It makes sense if you really are using it for medicine.
Yeah, I guess.
But we forget that people do that because no one's actually doing that in California.
Well, that's that same thing that
people are, but. Most people are.
Yeah, most people are. It's that whole thing where, you know, so many people will just – the amount of people I see show up to the doctor's office to, you know, get their prescription and they're sitting down. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm telling them I got this and this and this and this. I'm like, tell them you have insomnia because – If you tell them you have all these things, they're going to tell you to go see a real fucking doctor because Jesus Christ.
And if they don't, then they're not doing their job.
Yeah, exactly. Which they are really doctors. Yeah. So they have to tell you to go see a real doctor if they think that's the fucking problem. Jesus. Yeah. All right, moving on. So April brought up this article about apparently U.S. college students are using more marijuana and less tobacco than they ever have in the past. And this is very interesting to me because
they just admitting it.
I dropped out of junior college twice. And I was a terrible student. And you two both actually did your education, didn't you?
I never finished, but I went to a couple of
How far
colleges.
Did you go?
I was pretty close. I was probably like at the end of my junior year.
Okay.
But I was spreading it out over, you know, long period. Longer even. Yeah.
A couple years here, a couple years there.
I have oodles of credits.
Oodles of credits, but no degree?
And lots of major changes.
Oh, you're one of those.
I was the opposite of that. Never, ever declared one, which is essentially why I was just like, well, this is stupid.
Wait, how long? Okay.
I did. You had to when you became a junior, which was at the end of that year. I left because I declared myself a screenwriting major. And then I was like, I only declared that because I couldn't think of anything else. So I was just like, this is stupid. I'm not finishing this degree.
Really?
Yeah.
That's I
was like communications and broadcasting, web design.
Which is, by the way, the broadest degree that you could possibly get. It's like, I want to get a degree in life.
Yeah.
Can I get a degree in living?
And then I did fashion design.
That'd be nice if they offered that, but they don't. They don't offer that one, man.
Well, they have those, you know, like USC, you can take a Beatles class and shit like that, you know. I mean, they have some of that. Well,
that's what your $55,000 a year is going towards.
But when you
No, of course. Yeah, there's always like one class, but you can't be a – I guess I went to NYU right out of high school, and at NYU you can do a program where you just design your own major, and you have to like – you have to justify it with like a paper or something. But you can just choose whatever classes you want if you decide that those are appropriate for you and whatever you're trying to do.
Wow.
And so that's like somebody – the only example they ever gave us was that someone did a majored in evil. And just basically was like a horror. Like he just took every class that would involve like reading horror novels, and like took lots of English classes where they read about villains and stuff.
How
and film
much,
classes.
Like, that is awesome.
How much money did his parents
donate
to the
exactly
school?
Exactly. Or they donated $50,000 a year because that's how much it costs to go there.
Wow.
So, whatever.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So when you were – so when did you start your weed smoking life?
Well, I mean, I smoked weed for the first time like when I was 14, like in high school.
Okay. You
know, I grew up in California. We smoked weed. I mean, but I never was like a full-on stoner like every day until I was probably 19.
Okay. Which that yeah. So that sounds about 2 years into college.
Yeah, basically.
All right. So you did your first 2 years of college.
Actually,
then.
I'm old, so I was 18 when I was I turned 19 junior of my like no sorry.
You turned 18
I turned no, I turned 19 my first semester.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
it was
okay.
Like the it was like after the first year of college.
Okay. All right. So yeah. It was after your first year of college. So how many years were you at NYU?
One semester.
Yeah. So I can't even. So you did experience a semester of college where you didn't smoke weed.
Yes.
Were you a better student then or when you were smoking weed every day?
I was definitely a better student when I was not smoking weed.
Really?
Yes. But at the same time, I'm sure there is some sort of correlation. I'm not going to pretend like there's no correlation, but I still like sort of believe like was excited about school that semester of okay. NYU. Like I was sort of like I might care about this, and then as I kept going on, I was like I cared less and less.
But you were never a cigarette smoker, right?
No, never.
Okay, so never. What about you, April? Same question.
Yeah.
All right. So where did you go? Did you go to college right out of high school? You didn't go to. Did you go to 40 or did you go to junior?
I went to a communications college.
Okay, you went to a communications college.
It was a 2-year.
And I know you were already smoking by then.
I started smoking when I was 13.
Well, but everyday smoker.
No, I smoking a lot by like freshman, but like smoking all the time by like 18, 19.
Okay. Right? So were you a better student pre or post?
I feel like my attention span and my interest in school wasn't caused by the weed. I was already kind of – my grades were already starting to go down, and then I started smoking a lot of weed.
Okay, I can hear that. You were a tobacco smoker though. Did college make you want to smoke more or less?
When I was in college, I was doing all of the drugs.
Oh, okay, so everything.
So weed was just like my medicine to like make me feel better after doing all of the other fun rave drugs.
Well, then I'll tell you guys this.
I mean, hypothetically.
I'm not ashamed. I've said it many times before. I still always remember the first time I ever smoked weed. I was a late bloomer. I was 18, and I took my first hit of weed, and the first thought I had was, oh my God, if I had done this in high school, I would have done homework. Like I actually had the ability to concentrate for the first time in my life on one thing at a time. I actually enjoyed reading when I was high, which I'd never really enjoyed reading before. There were so many things.
Do you have like a severe ADD?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not severe, severe.
But is it my,
not severe,
my,
severe.
My
I'm
point,
very borderline. I was one
is,
of the borderline.
Do you really
cases.
Have ADD or are you really just interested in things other than the shit they try to throw down your throat in school?
No, actually, I was ADD because it's amazing how much I knew that I enjoyed the information. Like I've always loved history. I was always very good at math. Science I found interesting. I fucking hated English. hated English class. But all the electives, man, photography, psychology was one of my favorite classes. I loved governomics because I loved actually getting to learn about that. So, like all of this stuff that I found really interesting. I graduated high school. I will tell you right now, I can count the amount of homework assignments I did in high school on a fucking finger. Okay. It's probably one. All right. I didn't do homework at all because they'd hand us the syllabus and I'd go, homework is worth 10% of my grade. Cool. Cool.
Well,
straight B
that,
student, baby.
Course. Yeah.
You know, straight B student. What's up? And I never wanted to. I hated it. Hated it.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
I was too lazy. It was really too lazy. And I remember the first time I smoked, even though I wasn't a college student because I worked in entertainment and I really didn't see a point in going to college. I'm not saying that weed had anything to do with why I did or didn't go. There was no reason for me to go. But I definitely knew that when I started smoking, I went, I'd be much better at studying and educating myself this way than the way I went about it. And I'm not saying I regret that I wasn't stoned all through high school, but I kind of regret I wasn't stoned all through high school. Because I think school is – this is not what, surprising
then you'd be,
to hear.
You'd just be smarter?
I just don't like being –
You just know more things?
No, but I might have actually had –
I don't like pretending not to be high, though. That's my thing. I'm very open about it.
Oh, see, I've never had that problem. Most people don't – people don't know that I'm high when I'm high.
You don't get eyes? Your eyes don't?
No, I don't get red eyes.
When I try to pretend that I'm not high, I look way more high. Like, I'll drop shit. I'll be silly. I'll start crinkling wrappers in class because I'm hungry. Like, I just – I could go to class high, but – it'd just be, I'm such a tell.
As we close in on the 20-minute mark, I'm actually very excited about.
Did you empty the bowl? Because I have some good.
Yes, I did. Well, I'm loading this one up first.
Okay.
What we smoked earlier. So, because I'm so proud of this. So, our special gift today that we have at the 20-minute mark, we got this stuff called Dank Rocks that I picked up.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
If you get at any places that they have Dank Rocks. So, it's a chem dog, which has been dipped in CO2 oil. And then rolled around in a big old pile of keef.
CO2 oil. So what? How is that different? How has that changed? Because normally it'll be dipped in like hash oil or something. Is that
They are one in the same. They are hash oil. It's concentrate oil. So
well, it all depends on the solvent.
Yeah, it's that's exactly what
CO2
I was saying.
CO2 is the solvent.
The difference. The difference is just what you're using to extract the THC from the plant. Hash is usually either like there's finger hash, which is just like when they're snipping and all the stuff that gets gunked up on there. That's scissor hash. That's it breaks down very easy. It's almost like keef, but much more sticky. There's water. There's water hash, which is that very putty like hash. That's commonly butt hash is water hash, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, no, the butt isn't. I thought that the Moroccan hash is hash plant where they just kind of rub their hands together.
Oh, that's right. It is. You're absolutely
bubble
right.
Bubble hash is
right.
Like where you use screens.
Yeah.
And ice water.
Yeah.
But then you've got like butane or, you know, alcohol or CO2.
Yeah.
There's just
butane is where you start getting into your waxes. Wax is usually, they use butane.
Shatters, wax.
Yeah.
Do you dab butters. A lot?
I do. You know what? I do
I
not.
I never dab.
I do not do it because as soon as I use a blowtorch, I feel like I'm doing drugs. And I don't do drugs. I smoke weed. And I'm not hating on anybody who does it. I get it. It's just, it makes me cough too much.
It makes me cough so much and I hate it. Yeah.
I get a headache. I feel like.
I wish that you could explain to somebody before they took a dab. Like, I don't know if you've had the same experience where. It hits so hard that the lung splitter. It hits so hard to your lungs that you have to go to like the Indian style squat, where you like sit down like this and just like your whole body.
Oh yeah.
You're giving birth.
Yeah. And then you start to sweat.
Yep. I honestly the second time I ever took a wax dab hit. I coughed so hard I almost puked.
Yeah,
it
that
was
sounds about
terrible.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I did puke the first time I ever took a bong hit ever in my life, which was also like this. Well, the first night I smoked weed, but the second time I smoked weed, we hit the joint first. And the thing was there were three of us and we each had to roll our own joint. But I had never smoked weed before or ever rolled a joint. So they just tell me, they're like, hey, Alex, roll a joint. We're all going to roll joints. I'm like, okay. So I'm doing what they're doing. I'm just putting weed in a paper and I'm going like this. And I realize like I've rolled a weed cherry bomb. Like, it's in a circle with a thing at the top. So I'm like, okay, no, that's not right. And they keep doing it. And I roll this loose ass fucking terrible joint. That's just like, ugh. So we're getting more high from the smoke inhalation than we really are getting high from smoking the weed. Mm-hmm. And we do all that, and then we all get the munchies. So we go to McDonald's. I get 20-piece chicken nuggets, orange soda. Eat all that up because I got munchies like a motherfucker. And we come back, hitting the bong. They're like, Alex, hit the bong. So they hand me the bong. I take the babiest hit you've ever seen. And I go – oh gosh, so much smoke. And they're like, Alex, don't be a bitch. And he's like, you're going to hit it again and I'll pull the stem out for you. I'm like, okay. So he's hitting it and the whole fucking bong is filled up with smoke and he's not pulling it. I'm like, but I don't know. I'm a fuck. So he pulls it and I'm halfway to clearing it and I and the fucking water comes shooting out the end of it and I fall to my hands and knees and I'm coughing. And in my dad's garage, which is where we were standing at the time, he had this bright blue carpet in the middle, but it was like the cold concrete below it. And I'm on my hands and knees, and one of my hands is on the concrete, and the other hand is on the blue carpet. And I feel that cough come. It's like, uh-oh, something's going to happen right now. And I knew that I need only turn my head a little bit to the left, and I'd be good. Cleanup would be easy. But no, I left a chicken nugget orange soda Rorschach painting on my dad's bright blue carpet in his garage.
And, gross.
Yeah, very grody. But that was my first time smoking. But even then, I was still going, I could still read a fuck you, April, you bitch.
So what happened? You clean it up?
Yeah, I did. I was never able to get the stain out of the carpet. That was my dad found out. He's like, what happened out there?
SpaghettiOs.
Like, well, because how are you going to get orange soda out of blue carpet?
Probably not going to happen. Get a new carpet.
Yeah, thanks, Cotter. He's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. You're fucked.
That's awesome, though.
You're fuckity fucked. Yeah, that was my my first time ever smoking.
Not have oxygen.
And you
back
became
then?
A stoner after that. Sounds dramatic.
I did. I do remember really having that moment of clarity of like, oh my God.
That's awesome that you got high the first time. That doesn't happen. Like, I didn't get
high. Yeah, I've heard that a lot of people don't get high the first time.
No, I didn't. I didn't either.
A lot of people say they don't get high the first time. Yeah, the first time, I still swear, I think I got more lightheaded from all the smoke inhalation because, like I said, these were three terribly rolled joints. But still, I definitely was some kind of medicated, I was high. Yeah, I was definitely high my first time. I was feeling it. I was feeling the flow. So this next story coming up, I've been wanting to talk – because we've talked a lot of times on this show about medicating your pets, your dogs and your cats and your whatnot. And I want to clarify because we saw a video online of somebody who gave their dog a triple strength. The dog ate it. They didn't give it. I'm sorry. I'm not hating on the person.
This is a difference between the people that actually give them CBD and THC as medicine and then people – dogs. This is more about dogs accidentally.
Yeah, this is about dogs who were accidentally – here's the thing.
Poisoned.
All right. Dogs – there are a lot of medical benefits that dogs can get out of raw cannabis, like feeding your dog raw plant, and topicals. Because
CBDs.
But getting your dog high is fucking cruel because they don't know they're getting high. And while it is hilariously funny to look at, I'm not gonna say it's not funny to watch a dog be like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Okay, wait.
I can't feel my paws.
Okay, wait. I have to show you this video.
Oh gosh, are we watching? What's the
this
video?
This is a guy that has a parrot, or it's like a cockatoo, and he's walking around like the hemp con with this fucking parrot that he's blowing dabs in his face, and the fucking bird would fucking take dabs and blow it out like it was just here. I'll show you a video.
Maybe some animals can get used to it and like
no,
it.
No, I've seen dogs like weed. And I've seen dogs not like weed.
Okay, Ruby, my dog, my little dog Ruby.
And if they don't, they're never going to like.
I have never. If I'm breaking apart a nug, mm-hmm. She sits there waiting because she knows she gets every stem I ever pull. Mm-hmm. I give every stem to her and she chews it up and
awesome.
She loves it.
Yeah.
But she's not getting high from that.
She's getting some medicinal benefits.
She's getting some medicinal benefits. There's a lot of fiber in that. It's good for so. I don't feel like. Have you ever done the blowing? I mean, listen, I'm not gonna pretend
cats,
like I'm holier than thou are.
So
I've blown smoke in my cat's face when she's annoying the fuck out of me.
I thought that cats don't really like weed.
They hate it. Or
they hate
the smoke.
My
yeah.
cat Indy tries to bury my pipes when I leave them out. She tries to like she'll start scooping nothing around it and just trying to. Do your cats ever bury the pipe or the?
No, but I only smoke out of a bong that's on my desk all the time. But they don't. They hate smoke. hate it. They don't want anything. They don't want, yeah, as soon as I start smoking, they go away. So,
see,
is a bird even have the mental capacity to understand when it's
I mean,
high?
Birds are dumb as shit, so I really, but you
but
know.
But parrots are smart though, right? I guess for
no,
birds?
They can mimic. They can That's mimic, it? They cannot speak. Everyone who's like, oh, I got a parrot who can talk. No, you got a parrot who can mimic. They can mimic. Absolutely. Anything can mimic. But
right.
They're dumb as shit. They're birds. Yeah. They're not smart.
I've known some dogs.
They got personalities, but they're not geniuses. Let's just say that. I definitely wouldn't consider a bird. You know.
Did you know that they live for fucking ever?
They Parrots? Do. Yeah. They're old as yeah, very old.
Like 80 to 100 years or something.
I like know a macaw could maybe. Live longer
like,
than you.
Yeah, I heard it's yeah. like 80.
Yeah. Well, macaw the engine there's actually crazy macaw story. If I remember the story correctly, I want to say it's like Pasadena or somewhere like that here in Los Angeles. Back in like the 60s or 70s, there was a fire at an exotic bird store. And the owner was like, shit, open the cages, let out all the animals so that they wouldn't die.
Right.
There was a big, there was like 8 macaws in there.
Oh, the birds that escaped in L.A.?
Yeah. And now we have these wild macaws that just live in L.A. because they're not going to die. They have no natural predators here in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
And it's a good tropivore. So they've flourished. And now you have like macaws sitting on telephone wires in downtown Pasadena.
Imitating and car alarms.
By not, even
is that
in LA.
The birds that imitate the car alarms
yes.
in Toluca yes. Lake?
Yeah.
Because I used to go out and karate kick a fucking tree on the nightly because there'd be a bird like just like doing all this, like exact, imitating car alarms, just making crazy city noises.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, that is absolutely probably that. Because the birds they released, they had no predators here.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of food for them. It's a great environment for them. It's, you know, it's
mostly, I've heard it mostly around Burbank, right? Was that where it was?
Yeah, that kind of area.
Burbank, Toluca Lake.
I want to say Glendale, Pasadena more.
But it's spread that way.
But it's spread because
there was a flock by Casantini's house, which is down by Pico and La Cienega. So they've infiltrated. They've infiltrated Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
The tropical
really?
Birds.
Really. Really.
There was a flock of macaws down there?
Yes, in like a tree right behind. It was hysterical. Yeah, it was great. And on telephone wires, yeah.
I mean,
where did you say, downtown?
Pico and La Cienega.
So like West
above,
Hollywood.
Just above the 10, below, did, just south of West Hollywood, above the 10.
Jeez.
All I can just see is them making their way to like Watts or something and then imitating what people say. They're and then people think it's somebody's talking shit, but it's a macabre.
A gun starts, a gunfight begins. No, I think they're migrating to the sea, man.
Oh, jeez.
Trying to live by the beach.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, kind of slowly making their way that way, but oh, jeez. Like I said, I try not.
Got me on that 40, homie?
No real natural predators.
I try not to get my animals high, but
I don't get my dog. I give him CBD, and I don't really blow smoke in his face because he's a puppy, but he likes weed. I mean, he doesn't eat weed, but he's like cool around it. If he really liked weed, I'd be in trouble.
It's interesting that almost all cats seem to dislike weed, though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is. Because
I think it's smoke. I think it's just in general. I mean, I don't know about.
Well, no, because my cat, my cat Gremlin does not mind it, the smoke or the weed, really much. My other cat, Indy, will try and bury pipes. It's not the smoke. It's the smell. She'll smell the inside of the pipe and go, oh, that smells like shit. Bury it.
Huh.
And now also, I guess it should bear mentioning, I also have the only two cats in the world that I've ever seen who have no reaction to catnip. They give no fucks about catnip.
Yeah, well, it's only 2/3 of cats like catnip, supposedly.
How did I get 2 that don't, though?
I don't know.
Because watching a cat who loves catnip with catnip
it's hysterical.
Is awesome.
You almost feel bad. You're like, oh, shit, this cat is strung out.
you almost feel bad about giving it to them. But you don't because it's so awesome to watch.
No, they love it.
It's, I mean, I my first cat, Kanga, we used to give her this pouch that had catnip rubbed in it. And we would come home and find her in the living room on her back with the catnip pouch on her stomach. And she would literally, she would just be laying back, and every 3 seconds she would just lean her head up into her stomach and go, oh, yeah. And then just lay her head back again and be like, oh, that's awesome. I love my...
Just like hitting her opium pipe.
It was amazing how much this cat fucking It kind of sucks that I have cats now that don't like catnip. I'm a little bit disappointed in it.
Take them back, return them.
No, I mean, Gremlin specifically. I mean, the
cutest. Gremlin and Indy.
Gremlin
you
and
are a show business kid from the 80s, aren't you?
No, actually, Indy was named after our favorite character in a movie that wasn't Indiana Jones. There's a movie called Loch Ness Terror. It's a sci-fi film from the Sci-Fi Channel. And Brian Krause from Charmed plays a character in this movie, Loch Ness Terror. Now, in this movie, the Loch Ness Monster killed his pappy. And he decided to go to school for, I would imagine, like 7-8 years to become a cryptozoologist.
Right.
So that he could find the Loch Ness Monster and kill it.
Sure.
To avenge his pappy, of course.
I'm a cryptozoologist.
I'm a cryptozoologist. But his character in this movie looks like if Indiana Jones and Crocodile Dundee fucked and had a child. So Indy's full name is Indiana Crocodile Jones Dundee Jr. the Third. But Gremlin is Gremlin, Dr. Gremlin von Sparkle Master. Now, where that name came from was we had a baby naming party. And we invited a bunch of friends over because she was our first kitten. And so we had everyone over. She's a little kitten. And everyone was allowed to write 3 suggestions for names down on a piece of paper. And we threw them all in a hat. And we pulled like 3 or 4 names out. And we decided to arrange them in what was the best order. And the order wound up being Dr. Gremlin von Sparkle Master. And it's a good name. It's a good name for a cat.
No, I like it.
What are your cats' names?
Well, I'm a Star Trek fan. My cats are named Lieutenant Commander Worf and Commander Riker. Well, I'm Picard, so I need my first officer, my chief of security, with me at all times.
Oh, God! Are you serious? That's awesome!
Nerd alert!
That's so awesome!
You win the award.
That is definitely the nerdiest cat names I've ever heard in my life. Right? That is awesome. You went with Worf and Riker, huh?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
those are also the best cat names out of the crew. I could have gone with Geordi. Believe me, Geordi was on the table.
You could have gone with Geordi.
There was a Geordi discussion.
I get it. It's probably not.
So
you're probably not the
next generation.
Yeah. Well, that was the first show I was ever allowed to watch. Ah. So, like, literally, my earliest memories are of Star Trek: The Next Generation. So
do you ever call your cat number 2?
I'm 26, almost 27.
Do you ever call your cat number 2?
Right? No, because that's Data, so I'd have to call him number 1.
I thought Riker was number 2.
No, Riker's number 1. He's my number 1 guy. Data's number 2 because he's second officer.
But you're number 1 because you're Picard.
I'm the fucking captain.
Picard number referred one, to Riker as number 2.
No, he did not.
Didn't he?
I promise you he did not. He was number 1.
Was it number 1?
Number 1.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's all right. But think about this. After Riker, third in command was a fucking robot on that ship. how would you feel if you were an officer? You're like, well, the robot's ahead of me. Technically, the robot outranks me. So,
I mean, it was a very well-designed robot.
He was fucking brilliant.
He was very, you know, he had feelings and he desired to be human.
He did.
That was... So you went with Worf and Data.
Worf and Riker. First officer, chief of security.
Geordi
at all times.
I mean, man, I'm a Geordi Data guy myself. I got to say. I really am a Geordi Data guy.
If I wanted to make my choice even nerdier than I did, I would have gone with Geordi and Data, the 2 science officers, instead of the cool ones who shot people and banged girls, you know?
It is so funny that you were. It's just funny that you would refer to any character on Star Trek as cool.
How dare you? Are you kidding me? Commander Riker? He knocked down Trim like it was his job, dude. Every single episode, he was banging an alien girl. It was fantastic. And he had a girl on the ship.
I just want to see you talk about Star Trek.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
For the rest of.
Oh my god, I can't stop laughing. Oh my god, I didn't know that they were named. Oh gosh. All right, I can breathe now. Everyone knows your dog's names, you know, Jack. I call him Jackson Brown for those of you who don't know.
He has many names.
He does have many names. among them, fucking stop it. Stop it. Man, there's a lot of names amongst there. So moving on to our last topic coming up today. So Mass Roots, we've talked about many times on this show, wants a NASDAQ listing. They want to be a publicly traded entity. Which now that weed's being allowed to use banks, this is kind of the next logical step. And on this whole, you know, march towards, you know, federal reclassification and then later maybe possibly legalization, this is certainly a step. Because these businesses are, I mean, we talked about earlier on the show about what Israel's doing with startups for medical, but weed businesses in the United States have been some of the large. We were just on the cover of Time. Did you see that, by the way?
I did not. Was that last week? Because I was out.
Yeah, last week weed was on the cover. We had the cover of Time magazine. Talking about how
it's the thing right now.
How great it's changing the states and how states are getting rich off it.
Not just that, you know, they were talking about Colorado being able to give money to public schools. They were talking about, you know, the effects of marijuana on the average human being, which that was a great thing that they included in the article to actually talk about that. But what they really focused on is these budding entrepreneurial opportunities that people are taking. And yeah, a lot of people would say that right now the weed market is flooded and there's a lot of – but
– no, it's
in
like,
Los Angeles maybe.
I don't buy that.
It's not. There's so many growing things, right? Like there's so many states. They're having job fairs every day. All the big pioneers are going to other states and showing them how to do their thing. There's so much opportunity, especially for people here. There might not be that much opportunity for people here, but you can.
You've got tons of states with nothing happening that are about to, that within the next 10 years.
I still think that they're especially after Prop D or was it Prop D or
where they shut down the shops?
They shut down a bunch of the shops. Mm-hmm. I think it was Prop D. After that, business went down a lot, and a lot of production went down. And what it before that, yeah, it had exploded and there wasn't a lot of room in the market. But now in Los Angeles is as good a time as any to get into the marijuana market, because we did have a kind of sort of recent kind of crash in people's businesses. A lot of stores closing down, a lot of growers shutting shop. So
that was from saturation.
There was oversaturation, but that's kind of gone now. And we're in an opportunity where people can step up and take a chance again.
Oh yeah, people are making money again.
So
I know that is because every fucking house in all my neighborhood, like everybody's doing construction on their houses right now.
That's how you know the economy's doing good. Everyone's fucking doing. They're either home renovations.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, knock that shit down.
Knock it down.
Knock that shit down.
Knock it blow down it like a handball.
I feel like the one thing that would be hard about starting a pot shop now is that you'd have to start with fucking rock bottom prices. It is so cheap, especially in the neighborhood we're in right now.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculously inexpensive.
It's not fair. I mean, there are places charging $25 an eighth and asking indoor growers for $2,200 a pound, which is totally out. Like they used to get, like, you know, way more than that, like double that.
Yeah, it used to be twice as expensive as that, right?
Yeah, and then the fact that it's like, oh well, we'll take all of it. So then they just want to get rid of it, and so once they say somebody will charge them that much for it, they want everybody to pay. You know, they want everybody to give them that price, like for no, like how can you work so hard just for so, I don't know. Even growers need to stand their ground and not drop their prices.
Well, I agree with you. There's also the precedent to be said where you go. Isn't the onus kind of on growers to not sell it to them for that price? I mean, if that
yeah, I guess so. And then there's just a weed shortage.
If that really is the case, then because I know there are, I know of two shops off the top of my head
that have $25 eighths.
No, that have that do not have any eighths under like 50, 60 bucks.
Oh, really?
What, like Daddy's or something?
Well, no, I've never been to Daddy's, but Daddy's is very awesome. I do love them.
Daddy's is not the cheapest.
Daddy's is not the cheapest, but
They will give you a break on what's on the
menu.
What
is it, D5? Well,
that's what I'm saying. I know that them to be one of the most expensive places.
And
to go.
But Perennial. All the stuff in there is Perennial really nice. Also. Oh, yeah. But you can't. Perennial, they have set pricing for everything on their shelf. It's all expensive. Like, yeah. That's kind of the thing there. It's everything's expensive because it's all awesome. You have that guarantee from them. You're not going to smoke anything here that you won't enjoy. And that's what I worry about with these places when they go, you know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of
onus
integrity.
The onus is on the farmer that I go, I mean, if you're willing to sell it for this price that this guy is going, oh, I'm doing BOGO, buy an eighth, get an eighth, and you'll pay 40 bucks for the eighth. And you're going, so I'm getting a quarter for 40
yeah,
bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm getting an eighth for 20. That's – I've never bought one of those that I've enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
Yeah, and then they'll – they'll say, oh, top shelf. Yeah, it's top shelf, but it's not the top shelf I fuck with.
Yeah, it depends
what
on your definition
top
of top
is,
shelf, I guess.
And what my top shelf is.
Well, I hate the phrase top shelf when it's used at marijuana because at least in the alcohol world, like we all know what's top shelf and what isn't. You know, Grey Goose is top shelf vodka. Svedka is bottom shelf vodka. But Green Crack –
yeah,
I've gone to places where I've had green crack, and they've called it
– the strain means nothing. It's about who grew it
and
how it was grown.
I've had green crack that they've called top shelf that has been top shelf.
Yeah.
I've had green crack that's been called top shelf and was dirt. I've had green crack that was called dirt and was and should have been top shelf. It's a misnomer with weed because who knows? Yeah, like you said, Connor, it's all about the grower.
It's about how it looks, really. It's like which, like, it's. I don't think they're like, maybe they are smoke testing everything, but it's like if it just looks pretty, then I guess they are probably. But
it's
like,
it's just like how Lay's potato chips can say natural on it.
And how is that?
Because it's like.
They're legal loopholes, mostly.
No, it's just that you can call it whatever you want. You can say it's natural. You can say it's organic.
Oh, yeah. That whole idea. Yeah, no, you're allowed to say what it's a weird thing in America. You can say whatever you want. It's a whole freedom of speech thing. It's like, yeah, these are natural potato chips. You're like, oh, so you use all natural potatoes fried in natural oil? No, not at all. But they're natural potato chips. I mean, what the fuck?
Not natural. Like, it's natural like when you're just acting natural. You know, I mean, it's the different kind of natural. These potato chips are just chilling.
These are kind of nonchalant potato chips.
Yeah.
These are kind of these potato chips are kicking it. They're kinda,
yeah, you're using the wrong definition.
Mm-hmm. These are laid back potato chips. That's why they're called Lay.
Yeah.
All natural. Acting natural.
I mean,
now it all makes sense.
Because, oh, I mean, God. You can say it, you can call it whatever you want. It's your sales pitch. But
yeah.
That's why there's not a lot of regulation or integrity in it.
Well, you know,
but some places that, I mean, you get what you pay for.
That's that argument. You know, I go back on and forth on this a lot myself, where I do that whole, you know, as an American, you should be able to say whatever the fuck you. What did he say? No, never mind. Take their right. So well. Take their right. It's really hard to, you know, when we think of what our First Amendment right is, when you're like, you can say. To an extent, because, you know, you're not allowed to impede someone else's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But to an extent, you can pretty much say, I can say whatever I want really on this podcast.
Yeah, of course.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing right. But when I listen to some of the things that I say on this podcast, I'm like, I wouldn't mind someone being like, Alex, shut the fuck up. You're not allowed to say that.
Like,
that's what your girlfriend is for.
I know. Let's bring her in. Care to elaborate? Like what? What shouldn't you be allowed to say?
You know what? I don't know, but it's that weird thing where I go, does every person really deserve the right to say every thought that comes into their mind?
Twitter has proven us, yes, 100%. That is a human.
Maybe
it's
why.
A necessity evidently.
I'm not on Twitter. I checked today because, you know, I always tell people to follow me on Twitter on this show. And then I realize, like.
Does anybody follow at a funny Jew?
No, I've gotten more at A. Mandelberg. A. Mandelberg wound up winning over at a funny Jew. Way to go. Thank you all for liking my name more than a funny Jew. I love you, listeners.
You just have to turn the funny Jew one into just all shtick.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
And then just copy other people's jokes and then try to get a Comedy Central deal.
Yes, I could do that. I think he might have used that handle because Mitch, my roommate, was the one who stumbled across the fact that a funny Jew had not been taken. And
yeah, that's completely insane.
He quickly snagged it for me, and I was like, well, I have my name. He's like, your name sucks. Don't use it. And I was like,
well, at least you could like sell that to someone who really wants it.
Maybe one day, you know, we'll see. I'm holding on to it, man.
Yeah.
Holding tight.
Isn't that interesting?
That just be your alter ego or something. It's a character you come up with.
This character that's just a funny Jew.
And you make a bunch of tweets and then you turn that into a book and then that's how you make it.
You know,
people who turn tweets into books are fucking milking the cow for all it's worth.
I can't do the social media thing. I've said it 100 times. Really I'll annoying. Say it again. If what it takes to be the next big comedian in America is to have a strong social media presence, not only will I not make it, I'm fine with that. I can't do it. You know, I retweet. I love retweeting, you know, when we put out, you know, that our episodes are on. I always retweet that. And I've amassed, you know, a decent number. Not a decent number. I have like 58 followers. But I follow like 10 people. And, you know, those people I know at least are all people who like listening. So they see those retweets and they do that. But, you know, I swear – once a week I'll write a Facebook or a Twitter post, and right before I hit post or tweet, I'll go, oh, nobody fucking cares, and I'll delete the whole fucking thing. And I relate to that. Y'all don't really care about my personal life that much. You know, if you listen to this, you care about my opinion on weed, but you know, that doesn't mean that you want to hear about every, you know, meal that I'm eating and every, you know, every bowel movement that I take. Yeah. You know, I'm not doing that.
So you're not tweeting every time you shit?
No, I'm not.
Well,
I really
then you're
am not
doing Twitter correctly.
What about Snapchat? Are you Snapchatting?
No, I'm not Snapchatting at all either. I'm not doing any of
from
that.
While you run your bidet?
I do. Well, I do run my bidet because we are a bidet household here, as you very well know. You're laughing, Connor, but you...
No, I'm not. I just came from Asia. You know what the ass gun is,
yes,
right?
They do. I know what the ass gun is. Yeah. I know the ass gun very well. The ass gun is awesome.
Oh, look at the time.
I'm sorry, April, because you live like a heathen and you use paper. Me and Connor, are sophisticated.
Yeah, so, I brought one back with me.
I know you don't really celebrate Christmas, but around Christmas, you know, if you want to get your favorite co-host,
that's actually a great idea.
That's a great gift.
I got
you an ass
gun. I'm gonna do that.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
I am going to do that. That does sound awesome.
No, but I was really saying.
All right. Well, we do need to wrap up. So, what do you got coming up in the next couple of weeks, Connor?
I mean, I'm hosting at Formosa every Friday, and then I'll probably be at the Farewell Bar at the end of the month.
Very nice. All right. I'll probably see you then a couple times over at their Formosa.
Yeah.
What about you, April? What's happening with you?
I'm going to be snuggling puppies, and I'll be at Flappers next Wednesday.
Flappers. Right. What's the date on that? That would be, I'm looking at my watch to try and figure it out. I can't
it's
do the
math.
It's the 9th. The 9th, there you go.
It's the Yoo-Hoo, and I think it's 9:30.
Okay.
Very nice. My charming son. My charming son, stop it.
I have two interesting. We got PUI September 11th at the Hollywood Hotel, as well as, you know, you can always catch me at Formosa.
Never forget.
On a Friday, Saturday, never forget September 11th. But also, kind of really exciting, my mother is going to be hating me because on her birthday, I'm driving out to Joshua Tree because I'm directing a horror short for the Midnight Matinee series. My friend and roommate Mitch wrote it. I'm going to be directing it. He's going to be starring in it. I'm really excited. It's a really cool little short film. The adult actress Stoya will also be co-starring
in
it.
That's awesome.
Are there zombies?
No, it's It's an exploration because Tom did this really cool series where they were doing a lot of urban legends and, you know, turn of phrases turned into horror kind of ideas. And Mitch had a very interesting idea of doing a exploration of the phrase friends help friends move, real help friends move bodies. So
that's great.
It's a short film about a couple friends trying to move a dead body.
Okay, I'll be the dead body.
That's unfortunately the part taken by Stoya already, and she's got more she's got more Twitter followers than you do, unfortunately.
Oh no, I'm just kidding.
I'm super stoked about it. It's a great I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I hope people enjoy it when they see it. So
that sounds great, man. That's awesome.
Very cool. So listeners who enjoy me and things that I do, check that out. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Crab Diving Network. Thank you, Ravopolis Studios, for having us in here.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you. Thank you, Connor, for being here too.
Thank you for having me.